The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah! Go Cowboys!
This is the Players Lounge, broadcasting live from Dallas Cowboys World Headquarters at the Star. Now your hosts,
Barry Church, Danny McRae, and Newey Scruggs.
Hey everybody, here we are, another edition of the Players Lounge. I'm Newey Scruggs out here in Oxnard, California. Our two former Dallas Cowboys safeties, Barry Church, Danny McRae, they are in the air-conditioned beautiful studios, Star.
Feels
in
good.
Frisco. I was out here on this hot, listening to Mike McCarthy break it down. So, gentlemen, let's get right to it. Anthony Barr signed as a linebacker for the Cowboys. Church, your thoughts on Anthony Barr. Now, he's still taking the physicals and everything there, so it's not official. But your thoughts on what you think Mr. Barr could bring this defense.
Well, I mean, once everything gets official and he's, you know, in there and got his star on, I wonder what number he's going to pick. Because, you know, his college number is taken by Parsons. You know, his pro number has been taken by LVE, and I don't think he's giving that up. So I wonder what number he's going to pick. But overall, man, I think it was a – I'm not going to lie. I didn't really understand it. I didn't understand why they went and got, you know, an extra linebacker. I could see if it was, you know, for depth or something like that. I could see. But in depth perspectives, you're going to have what? You know, in your base defense, you'll have a 4-3, which means you got three linebackers there. They're playing that defense maybe 15% of the time nowadays. Everybody else comes out in 11 personnel, which means you got three wide receivers, one tight end, one running back. So you're only going to have two linebackers out there because you need more cover people. So and those two linebackers, in my opinion, are going to be Parsons and LVE. So to me, I didn't really understand it. I think there's more needs that this team got to get in free agency. Wide receiver to be one, is seeing as though the only bona fide pass catcher we have is CeeDee Lamb. So I don't know why they didn't go that route, but Jerry Jones said he was going to give these younger guys an opportunity to go out there and do what they do. So they signed Anthony Barr to a defense, I guess, to add depth. The price tag on it wasn't too bad. And like I said, if somebody goes down or you want to move Parsons down to DN and third down type of situations, I guess you can put Barr in there. But at this stage of his career, I'm not so sure he's better than LVE. And then you also got Jabril Cox in the wings coming up. Everybody's saying how great he's doing at camp. He has speed. He's a young guy. He's going to kind of block his reps as well. So, to me, I don't really understand the signing besides a depth piece. But if that's what they're going with, that's what they're going with. But I don't know.
I think you're hitting the nail on the head, though. At the end of it, I think you started to get where I was at, all right, you said it's a depth issue, right? When you're talking about Jabril Cox coming off an injury, you're talking about LVE, who we know has an injury-filled pass, you know you need some guys, some proven guys, to be able to step in and make sure that you don't miss a beat if those guys are out,
he
right?
He did go under George Edwards in Minnesota.
So, and then you also have to think about Dan Quinn, which I cannot believe you are questioning Dan Quinn's decision to bring in some more tools to keep in the toolbox. All right. We watched this guy last year take players from all over the place and let them put them in the game and put them in a position to play at an extremely high level. You talked about Kurtz. Okay.
Yeah.
Think about that. All right. When we first seen him come to the team, nobody on the Players Lounge was like, hey, he's going to have that, like, a hell of a season. He's going to be a standout player. And he got in there. Right. He got in Dan Quinn's system, and he's a standout player. Now, we know that there are some players around the league that if you put them with the right defensive coordinator, the type of year they can have is crazy. And I think Anthony Barr is going to be one of those guys to where Dan Quinn says, I have a guy that can do this. I have a guy that can also rush the passer, guy that can fill the lanes in the run game. And I'm going to make sure I get him on the field so I can really, really use him to my advantage. All right, so you're going to see him line up on the edge sometimes. You're going to see a package with DeMarcus Lawrence, Micah Parsons, Barr, all on the line, and they're going to be running all type of stunts. You're going to see some very creative things out of this group just because we have another proven guy on the defense.
But this is also a guy who in the past 2 years only played 13 games.
We need like eight. We just need eight. You just said it's a depth issue. We only need – you remember when DeMarcus Ware went out there to Denver, mm-hmm. and then he was literally in there on third down? Like they know how to limit these guys' snaps to make sure that they get the most out of them, all right? So I don't see Anthony Barr being an every down guy. But there are going to be some special packages in there where you say, oh, man, with the guys they have on the field – The offense is going to be in trouble. There's some pass rushers out there, right, on our squad, and he is an additional pass rusher that we can always use. If you can rush the passer, you got a chance in every game.
So do you think, like, is that going to block Jabril Cox development?
Hey, man.
We got a lot of edge rushers out there. I know the saying goes you can never have as many or never have enough cover guys. It's like you can never have enough guys to rush the quarterback. But I just – to me, I just feel like there were more pressing needs with this team than signing Anthony Barr as your linebacker, just for a depth piece.
Nui, so Church's issue is he would have rather had a receiver instead of a linebacker, but that doesn't negate the fact that we could still use a linebacker.
Is he going to crack the field? I mean, he's going to crack the field.
You can accomplish both.
Go ahead, Nui, go ahead.
I mean, you can truly, Church, you can accomplish both. I mean, we had the conversation last night. George Edwards wanted Anthony Barr, likes Anthony Barr, knows what he can get out of him. They had conversations before with Anthony Barr, but the price tag was too high. So now the price tag gets a little lower. You're like, okay, I need to get in somebody's camp. They're paying the exact same amount of money as Leighton Vander Esch. They wanted the depth, a guy they think that can help. Also, Danny, you hit 100% point. Hey, man, look, they could put Parsons in different areas and add Anthony Barr there as well. As far as Jabril Cox goes, Mike McCarthy just spoke about it in his meeting with the media. He's not practicing today. They're bringing him along slowly. They don't want to rush him. They like him, but they don't want to rush him. We're talking 17 games now, guys. 17. And you see the schedule, man. There's some quarterbacks on this doggone schedule here. I have zero issue with what they've done. They'll be smart. They'll figure it out. And you can get a wide receiver later on. The receivers that people are talking about right now, the saying goes time. So, you know, some of these receivers have health issues right now. I actually like what they're doing right now, guys. I have no problems with
it. I just don't. I mean, you say you're going to put them on the edge to rush a little bit. All right. So if you put Michael Parsons down on the edge, you got Anthony Barr in the second level as a linebacker. Are we sure he can perform in space? Like, I mean, we're asking this guy to go out there and cover.
I'm trusting Dan Quinn to make sure that he put guys in position that they can excel at. And we've seen him do that. There's no reason for us to look at Dan Quinn and what he's done based off the history that he's had specifically last year with the Cowboys and say, all right, he's picking this guy up. He's allowing him to be picked up for a specific reason. I can guarantee you Dan Quinn's looking at Anthony Barr. He's seen his tape, and he's like, this is where I'm going to use this guy. This is how I'm going to use him. I'm sure he also knows what his weaknesses are in the positions that he doesn't want to put Anthony Barr in, the same way that he does with the rest of the players on the squad. So, you know me. I'm with Dan Quinn, okay? If you want Anthony Barr, I want Anthony Barr. All right? I'm taking him. All right? I'm with you, DQ. Top 10 this year.
If this was 2003 and, you know, they were coming out in 21 personnel, 12 personnel. All right, I can see. We got us a thumper in there. We got us a thumper. This is 11. Wow. People are going to come out here in 10 personnel, 11 personnel. They're going to be throwing the ball all over the yard.
Well, I mean, when you look in our division, it's not really going to be that way. I mean, you got Daniel Jones. They're going to try to run it with Saquon. You got the Washington Commanders who are going to try to run it with Gibson and their other running back. You got Carson Wentz. Like, you got to try to run the ball.
Yeah.
And then you got Philly. They're going to run the ball. Like, Jalen Hurts is Jalen Hurts, but he's going – like, their offense is based off the running game. His ability to run and Miles Sanders' ability to run as well to open it up for those receivers that they got out there. So, we're going to be playing some teams that plan on running the ball. And, Nui, if you remember – What really opened up the box for us last year was Denver coming in here and running the ball down our throat. All right, so we saw two teams, the 49ers and the Denver Broncos, that came in, and now we are basing our additions off those two performances. We need to be able to stop the run.
Yeah, we also need to stop the pass because the division ain't nobody worried about it. The division, you know, it is what it is.
But you got a run stopper and a pass rusher at the same time.
You got a run stopper. So we're going to put him, Parsons, D-Law, and bash him on the same line.
If you want to put five down and bring some pressure, yeah, you got another guy who can do that.
All right. I think we're looking at one of his first 4 years.
We can still get another receiver, bro. We'll be okay. Don't worry about it.
All right.
Hey, Nui, remember this conversation, all right? Because when Anthony Barr get out there and start making plays like Dalton Schultz did, we're going to be back on church again.
Yeah, we said the same thing about Keanu Neal. When he first came in, oh, man, he making plays out there. And then towards the end of the season, he couldn't sniff the field.
Hey, it happens. He got hurt.
We going to see.
Didn't he get hurt?
We going to see.
Church, what I'm trying to understand is why you don't trust Dan Quinn. Because this, to me, is all about a trust factor, because trust requires three things: time, proof, and consistency. And Dan Quinn and what he's doing and running this defense, to me, should have your trust.
Hold on now.
I don't understand why not.
If you look at history, we've seen this happen before. Number one defenses coming back that next year, not performing that same way.
We wasn't number one.
We still
weren't the number one defense. We still going up, right? Since we wasn't top 10, we going to move into the top 10. So I think you got two or three more years before you see us go on a decline.
Seen it happen. Number one defenses go out there, ball out of control. The defensive coordinator's on top of the world. Then they come back that next year. Offensive coordinator got a chance to look.
Now, Seattle wasn't like that. Now, they had a bunch of years where they were at the top of their game.
Come on now.
They had a bunch.
They had some top 75, top 100 players on there, too.
Yeah, I'm saying that. We do. We got Michael Parsons. Yep. We got Trayvon Diggs. Come on, bro.
Right, that's two. I'll give you that.
Come on, man.
That's two now.
Go ahead.
So, church, this is real simple. It's a yes, no question. Because Danny and I trust Dan Quinn. Do you trust him?
Come back to me in that one. Come back to me. I'm gonna say. Let me see the first couple games first. Can I see the first couple games first?
For you to have to trust Dan Quinn?
I'm saying the man had a heck of a year last year. A heck of a year. Got the most out of all his players. I'm saying, but I've seen this story before. I've seen it.
We weren't a number one defense, though. You talking about guys who were at the top.
So consistency is your question.
That's all I'm saying. Let me watch it to week three. Let me get to week three and see. Because he got two big-time tests in the first 2 weeks, right? We got Brady and then we got Joe Burrow. So let me get the first two games, and then we see what goes on.
No, because listen, you're not going to base it off the first two games, because last year when we played Tampa Bay, we had four turnovers, but we still lost the game and gave up a bunch of points. Mm-hmm. You would not have assumed that our defense was going to play as well that they did throughout the rest of the season.
Give me some more games.
He gave you a year.
We were number one in third down.
Number one in turnovers. You have a reason to trust this guy. Because the year
before.
Let's not let church forget, okay? The year before Dan Quinn got here, what Jordan Lewis, Anthony Brown, Trayvon Diggs, and those guys look like. Okay, and then remember what they looked like last year when Dan Quinn got here. There is a reason for you.
He also brought in a superstar now, Michael Parsons. Let's not act like that. That's not a difference now.
They drafted one, but the rest of those guys played tremendously better.
And a lot of them was piggying back off of Michael Parsons. Like him getting to the ball helped Trayvon Diggs perform better.
So is Michael Parsons playing this year?
Yeah, he's going to play this year.
So what are we talking about?
But I'm not completely sold.
He's on
sold
the field
yet.
This year.
I'm sold on Parsons. I'll say I'm on Dan Quinn's kids.
If you're saying they piggybacked off Parsons last year, Parsons is here, so they can still piggyback off the guy.
They can still. But
Anthony Barr can also piggyback off the guy.
I just don't see it.
Okay.
I don't see it, man. I don't see it. We'll see, though.
You think about Jasper Brinkley. That's what's up. He thinking about Jasper Brinkley when they picked him up.
Why y'all gonna do Jasper like that?
That's
man.
What you thinking about. This ain't that, okay? This ain't that. This ain't that.
I'll put out the Jasper Brinkley.
Okay, I'm writing it down here. 10:47 Pacific Standard Time. Church isn't ready to trust Dan.
I'm just saying that the man had a phenomenal year last year as a defensive coordinator. I would like to see him do it again. I'd like to see him do it again.
We would too.
I'd like to see him do it again. And if he can, then hey, he's a man. He's a man. But I've seen it happen. I was a part of it before.
We're going to rewind the tape, okay? I remember last year you said, hey, man, listen, Dan Quinn's the guy. You was right. You was right. He's the guy. Now you like, I don't know if he the
last
guy.
Last year, he was that guy. And this is a year-to-year. You got to update the resume. This is a year-to-year basis.
This is the same way he talk about Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert. I get it. I don't know.
The same thing.
I don't understand.
The same thing.
The same thing when you wrong.
Herbert was better the first year. Burrow was better the second year. Here come the third year. Here come the third. We going to see.
Joe Burrow is a better quarterback than Justin Herbert.
Oh, man, he got better talent around.
He will. That's all you going to hear when the Cowboys go play against the Chargers.
You see the offensive line?
What are you talking about?
Did you see Joe Burrow's offensive line got sacked?
Did you see Joe Burrow's skill positions?
Herbert sat up there and played with what's old boy from Northwestern, who was all pro.
And the Cowboys are still getting after him.
Stop this.
We ain't gonna act like they just had an all-pro offense. Like, their offensive line was the greatest in the NFL history. They were still getting after him.
They was better than Cincinnati.
The Cowboys were still getting. They were better than Cincinnati.
That's what we're comparing
right now. But
the
Cincinnati skill squad was a hell of a lot better than the Chargers.
Bro.
Man, come
Austin
on,
Eckler.
Joe Mixon. Who's better, Austin Eckler or Joe Mixon?
No, you said a hell of a lot better. You can say that one is better than the other. Austin Eckler is a better pass catcher and better out of the backfield than Joe Mixon.
He might be better out of the backfield.
Overall,
I'm talking about
Joe
Mixon.
Joe Mixon wasn't even on the field on third down in the Super Bowl. Remember? I forgot the guy who got stopped on third down.
Samaje Perine. He might have got maybe two or three third downs.
In the most important times of the game, Joe Mixon
was
not there.
He's a better blocker. He's a better blocker. That's why.
He got the ball.
He was up there. Then he had to get up out of there because Aaron Donald was after him.
Yeah, thank you, Nui, please. Because the church, he's still on it. He's still a Joe Burrow denier.
I'm going to be on it.
You know what? We're going to take a break. We're going to take a break because I'm going to let you go breathe after this embarrassing yourself like this, church.
Remember we said this.
Really.
I don't want to hear nothing after these first two games.
We'll take a break and see what other crazy takes the Barry Church has. Like,
I just need some more convincing. That's it.
I was told that we have been way too hard on Mike McCarthy. Let's dive into that next right here on the Players Lounge. Barry Church, Danny McCray, Nui Scruggs on DallasCowboys.com radio.
With Smoothie King's original angel food and new angel food slim without added sugar, you no longer have to choose between treating yourself and hitting your goals this summer. You don't have to choose between great taste and feeling great. Because at Smoothie King, every blend is made with whole fruits and no syrups. So you can satisfy your cravings without compromise. The only choice you will need to make is which one is best for you. Try our classic angel food or the new angel food slim, blended without added sugar. Smoothie King, rule the day.
Nobody protects you from mayhem like Allstate. I'm a broken traffic light. Stop and go is the name of my game. It's easy. You go, they go. What was it? They go, you go? And if you have the wrong car insurance, these repair costs could stop you in your tracks. So get Allstate's new low auto rate and be better protected from mayhem, like me.
Not available in every state based on coverage and limits selected. Subject to terms, conditions, and availability. In most states, prices vary based on how you buy. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Attention Cowboys fans looking for the best shave of your life. There's a new official razor of the Dallas Cowboys, Shave Logic. Imagine not having to buy blades as often and getting more smooth shaves than your old razor, guaranteed or your money back. After more than 10 years of research and over 150 company patents, ShaveLogic is proud to offer Cowboys fans a special offer. For a limited time, visit ShaveLogic.com and get a free $10 gift card with your purchase. Go to ShaveLogic.com now for more smooth shaves guaranteed.
The Cowboys Way, where 16 Hall of Famers and 5 championships shows us what success looks like. Where turkey is always the second best part of Thanksgiving Day. Where we are all defined by one single thing, the star. Where we as fans know it's our job to keep the tradition going. Bank of America is proud to be the official bank of the Dallas Cowboys and to support the quest of living life the Cowboys way.
Copyright 2020, Bank of America Corporation.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Back to the Players Lounge.
Hey, are you a Cowboys fan who spices up the game? Nominate yourself or others to be the Cowboys Fan of the Year, presented by Captain Morgan, and a winning trip to Super Bowl 57 in Arizona. Nominate today at DallasCowboys.com/Fan of the Year. So the Super Bowl is in Arizona. Could the Cardinals be the third straight team to win a Super Bowl in their own house? Last year, the Rams won it SoFi. Year before that, Tampa Bay won it in Raymond James Stadium in Tampa. So let's get back into this Players Lounge action with Barry Church, Danny McCray. I'm Newey Scruggs. Church McCray back there in Frisco. I'm out here in Oxnard, California. So I was told yesterday by someone in the Cowboys organization that we in the media are too hard on Mike McCarthy. Like, why don't you guys like Mike? Why are you guys so down on Mike? So I want to ask you guys as former players, do you feel that way, that the general media is too tough on Mike McCarthy?
I mean, if you're talking about me as being a part of the media, then no. I mean, I don't think so. I think a lot of people are stating the obvious. I think when it becomes an issue of, like, being too hard on Mike, that waiting around the corner stuff with possibly Dan Quinn taking the job and Sean Payton, I can understand that. I can understand that. But you also have to understand the man had a rough first year. Yeah. All right, with some very talented players on the squad, and even with that going down, the way that we performed as a team did not leave people with a lot of confidence that it was going to get better. All right, so his start has been a little shaky, so I can understand why people are a little hard on him, especially if you want the Cowboys to be a Super Bowl winning team, and it just sometimes doesn't seem like we're as close as we should be with the talent that we've had with the Ezekiel Elliott, with the Amari Cooper. Now you got Tony Pollard. You remember you had players on the squad where you say, we should be winning. We should be, like, teams should fear us to some extent, like playing against the Cowboys, and I don't think we're there. So some people can be a little bit too hard, but I want Mike McCarthy to call the plays.
You're going to go down swinging.
I want him to call the plays, because right now I can't be as hard as I want to on the guy, because I believe he's a good play caller. But he's not giving me anything to argue with or against, because he's not calling plays.
Yeah, I think you're 100% right. I don't think the media is too hard on him. I think it comes with the territory. Look, you're the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, all right? The number one franchise in all of sports when you talk about worth and value. So it just comes with it. I mean, you're going to be under scrutiny. You're going to be under the microscope. And like you said, McCray, you can't really get on him for his offensive play call, because Kellen Moore does that. You can't get on him for the defensive stuff, because, you know, Dan Quinn does that and gets that under handle. What it comes down to is, how does he lead his team? And how does his team perform out there? Is it ready to go? Is it discipline?
Clock management.
And there's all those things that he brought on himself as far as being critical. Clock management, when to go for it on fourth down, when not to go for it on fourth down. Different things of that nature, and these mojo moments that we heard about all last year. We're doing these mojo moments to get ready for the 2 minute, and we're doing this to get ready for that. But when it came down to it, and it was live bullets out there flying, the team just didn't execute. And I think, you know, the media is all fair to go after him for that, because that's, to me, what he's in charge of, is to make sure this team is disciplined, make sure this team doesn't commit a lot of penalties, and make sure they're ready for the moment when it arrives. And a lot of times last year, the team just wasn't ready for that. That's 2 years in a row. So to me, I mean, I think the criticism is fair.
I'll come back to what, within the conversation, some of the points that you guys made, we were making as well, which was game management. Say, like, okay, he's supposed to be an offensive guy, but he's not handling the offense. He doesn't handle the defense. So here he is in charge of game management, and the game management hasn't been good. Person said, yes, you're right. And then I came back and said, all right, Jason Garrett, one reason why you wanted him gone, fan base and media, was like, dude, you're just not good at managing the game. So we were led to believe that a guy with a Super Bowl and a guy with as much playoff success in playoff seasons that Mike had in Green Bay, we were assuming that the game management couldn't get worse. Well, there are times when it got worse over these 2 years. You just look at it like, what's going on? And the way the season ended was a big old, like, come on, man. Guys don't know the simple rules. So those things hurt Mike McCarthy. Then I was also told, like, hey, look, McCarthy was the person who hired Dan Quinn. Why don't you give him credit for that?
You're right.
That's what I got hit with.
I mean, he put people in position to do the right thing. Dan Quinn, he put Dan Quinn in position. Dan Quinn
after what? After the first person he hired.
He did do that. You are correct with that. He did.
But he
got back with it, though.
Don't forget Jim Tom Sula was that, too.
Yeah.
Nolan and Jim Tom Sula.
He hired Dan Quinn. Everybody in the organization wanted Dan Quinn. Was a former head coach, Super Bowl winning defensive coordinator. Let's not act like it was a hard thing. Like, he wanted to go pick him out of a place where nobody. Come on, man. Like, yeah, of course. I called it before.
Yeah, this is true.
We all could see if that guy wanted to be a defensive coordinator somewhere, that you were going to give him a shot to go do it. I guarantee you Mike McCarthy wasn't the only guy who went to go try to get Dan Quinn to be a defensive coordinator. I can guarantee you that.
So. All right, outside of the coordinators and all that, do you put game management, you know, clock management, penalties, discipline, do you put that all on McCarthy as well?
Yes.
So that's why I'm saying the criticism, it has to be, he has to get criticized for something. So I think it's fair. I don't think we're over-criticizing him at all.
Yeah, listen, the game management is on him. And even when his coordinators mismanage the game, like any head coach in the National Football League, it all stops with you.
Yeah.
All right? So when Jerry Jones comes out and says, specifically talking about Mike McCarthy, hey, this is the penalty situation is something we need to be fixing during the season or in OTAs. I don't want to hear about fixing that after the season's over. He's talking about the leader of the team. All right? So, yes, that is on Mike McCarthy. All right? And a lot of it is warranted, and then some of it is just you're the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, bro. Like, you're head coach in the National Football League. Yes, it comes with it.
Well, let me ask y'all this. Do y'all think – the pressure is fair for Mike McCarthy when you talk about the ownership and everybody around him talking about these coaches coming up behind him. Sean Payton, you got on your own staff, might be the head coach next year if you don't perform. I mean, that's a lot of pressure.
Listen, if he's going to listen to that pressure.
There was a mixed message.
Yeah, the ownership has given him he should have the confidence from the ownership. They continue to stand behind Mike McCarthy. Now, if he listened to the media talking about that while the owners are telling him that he's good, then that's not our fault. Right? Yeah. Come on, man. You got Jerry and Steven telling you good, bro. Block out the noise. Like, you the head coach, bro. You tell your players that you got to be able to do what? Block out the noise, all right, and win some games, and that's how you quiet all this stuff down. But if you don't, if you go out there and your team don't perform well, then that's when all this noise starts to get made.
Yeah, we seen it. Did they tell Wade that? I don't know.
I do want to say this, and just being out here and coming to the press conferences every day, I've never seen Mike McCarthy more confident. I've never seen him more loose. So. He's not, to me, I don't see him feeling any pressure at all. I think he's kind of found his groove here. And look, you guys have played in different organizations. Danny with Chicago, Barry with Jacksonville. So you know, coming here is different. And I think there was also, besides having the COVID thing that happened, I think there was an initial shock for Mike McCarthy to come here like, it's a different kind of place. And I do feel like in year number three that he's got some command, control, and competence in making the playoffs last year helped him. So I don't think that Mike is walking around at all. I don't feel like a guy that's like, oh, my gosh, I'm about to lose my job. I don't feel that at all. I feel like there's a lot of confidence in what he has going right now for himself and his coaching staff.
Do y'all think at the end of the day, if things aren't going right, do you think McCarthy says, you know what, I need to start calling these plays?
No.
You think it's a wrap? He has to go down with – if Kellen's going down, he's going down with the ship.
I think they're too bought into Kellen.
Okay.
I think Kellen is a guy that has so much respect around his organization that the play calling is not leaving Kellen.
Okay.
He's going to be the guy calling the plays for the 2022 season, and that's what it is.
I mean, how would you feel? Are you like, man, what? And we scoring 10 points a game. And you just can't do nothing about it but just go down with it.
Hey, man. Mm. Hey, I guess you hired Kellen Moore too, huh?
Danny, you were speaking a whole lot of truth. When we come back, a wide receiver that we need to start talking about, who I believe is going to make this football team. Let's dive into that next with Danny Craig, Barry Church. I'm Newey Scruggs. This is the Players Lounge on DallasCowboys.com radio.
It's Smoothie King's original Angel Food and new Angel Food Slim without added sugar. You no longer have to choose between treating yourself and hitting your goals this summer. You don't have to choose between great taste and feeling great. Because at Smoothie King, every blend is made with whole fruits and no syrups. So you can satisfy your cravings without compromise. The only choice you will need to make is which one is best for you. Try our classic Angel Food or the new Angel Food Slim, blended without added sugar. Smoothie King. Rule the day.
Attention Cowboys fans looking for the best shave of your life. There's a new official razor of the Dallas Cowboys, Shave Logic. Imagine not having to buy blades as often and getting more smooth shaves than your old razor, guaranteed or your money back. After more than 10 years of research and over 150 company patents, Shave Logic is proud to offer Cowboys fans a special offer. For a limited time, visit ShaveLogic.com and get a free $10 gift card with your purchase. Go to ShaveLogic.com now for more smooth shaves guaranteed.
Nobody protects you from mayhem like Allstate. I'm a broken traffic light. Stop and go is the name of my game. It's easy. You go, they go. What was it? They go, you go? And if you have the wrong car insurance, these repair costs could stop you in your tracks. So get Allstate's new low auto rate and be better protected from mayhem like me.
Not available in every state based on coverage and limits selected. Subject to terms, conditions, and availability. In most states, prices vary based on how you buy. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
We paid how much for those lessons?
Shh, she's doing great.
Oh yeah, totally. Can you pass me a Pepsi Zero Sugar? Great job, honey! Oh, look at that. That's not the end.
No way. Now it's time for the encore.
You know what? You're right. Five times? Not enough times.
For everyone who traded in rock concerts for their kids' recitals, you've compromised enough. Pepsi Zero Sugar. That's what I like.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Back to the Players Lounge.
Dallas Cowboys training camp presented by American Airlines is back in Oxnard, California. Check out all of the excitement for free. Enjoy daily practices, activities, and more at the River Ridge Fields through August 16th. For more information, visit DallasCowboys.com/training camp. You are in the Players Lounge. I'm Newby Scruggs here in Oxnard, California. Barry Church and McCray are back in Frisco, Texas at the Star facility. So, all right, guys, Dennis Houston, number three. Now, he's number three in white because number three on the defensive side is Anthony Brown. He is an undrafted rookie, and Dak Prescott likes him a lot. So, barring he becomes all Oxnard, can't do anything in the preseason games, this is a young man that I think is because Dak Prescott likes him a lot, and he is throwing to him. So, gentlemen, start looking out for this young man.
I told y'all, system. I'm telling you, okay? I have been seeing CeeDee Lamb make a lot of plays. But there is something to be said about the history of the play calling and the way that our receivers are done here, all right? We had the same thing by Cedric Wilson and Noah Brown last year, all right? And we all continue to say the same thing. We got this weapon, that weapon. Why are these other guys getting so many targets and catches in these big-time moments? Now, nothing against Houston, but – I'm starting to see that same type of pattern come about this year, man. I don't like to – somebody got to shine. I get it. But Dak Prescott, only person I should be hearing that he likes is Tony Pollard and CeeDee Lamb. That's it. That is it. I don't want to hear nothing else.
You ain't lying about that. Now, the Houston kid, I've seen, you know, a couple things where he's been making some plays out there. So, you know, hopefully he'll get his opportunity, especially with the injuries we have at receiver, to go ahead and shine and maybe even make the team. But one advice I would give to him is make sure you're balling on teams as well. You know, you can do all you want at the wide receiver spot. You can go out there balling all you want. But if you're not doing nothing on teams, it's going to be hard for you to make the squad. So hopefully he's balling on teams. But back to what you were talking about at the wide receiver position. You're 100% right. I've seen CeeDee Lamb out there making plays, balling out, and I hope that translates to the regular season? Because like you said, this is more of a system offense where it's not just, you know, featuring one guy, force feeding one guy. They spread the ball around. And I get it. You got to, you know, spread the ball around a little bit to have success in the league. But if you got a bona fide dog out there that's leaps and bounds better than the rest of the receivers that you have that are, you know, minus Michael Gallup because he's not healthy right now, but you got to force feed that guy. I mean, you got to find ways like Devontae Adams in Green Bay, like Jamar Chase in Cincinnati. You got to find ways to get this man the ball. So I'm hoping what I see in camp so far, where CeeDee Lamb's catching this pass on the sideline, catching this deep pass, doing scrambling drills, catching these passes, I hope they translate to the season because we're going to need that guy to ball out, especially early on in the season with the limited amount of receivers we have out there. So hopefully they get CeeDee Lamb featured first and foremost, and then the rest of these guys, if the ball comes your way, the ball comes your way, just get ready to make the play.
So Nui, who would you say that if you had to do the top three receivers right now, receivers, is CeeDee Lamb, and then based on their performance in camp, who are the two following CeeDee Lamb?
Well, you know, we kind of have moments. Okay? We've had some moments. So, you know, we've seen Basher make a play. You know, we've seen Houston. So, I would just say, for me right now, we're seeing guys get some work. Tony Pollard is, to me, going to be your – if I'm looking right now, is who's that third guy that I trust right now? Be more Tony Pollard. Kellen Moore spoke about it the other day, but hey, he was at Memphis. He was more of a slot receiver more so than a running back, and they're going to get him out there in space and utilize him. So, still a work in progress, man.
Oh, that makes me nervous.
Mike McCarthy's up, but they're still in the all. You know, you should be. Yes, okay, yes. There you go. You should be nervous. They get it. It's also going to be one of those where Ken. Dak Prescott do what Tony Romo did, where you saw Tony Romo, all right, Miles Austin, here you go. Nobody knows you, but I know you, and I'm going to start getting you to football. Miles Austin becomes a Pro Bowl player, and Laurent Robinson. A lot of people didn't know, but Tony did, and Tony trusted him, and Laurent Robinson got a nice, huge contract from the Jacksonville Jaguars. This is why you're making $40 million. Go make a guy.
But
Alan Lazard is not a guy anybody knew, and Vontaze Scantling out there at Green Bay, but Aaron Rodgers made him, so... That's why I bring up a guy like Houston. Hey, maybe Dak Prescott can make something with this guy because he likes him. Tolbert is also going to be somebody else that they're counting on. So right now I tell you, Tolbert, Houston, look for these two dudes right now. As I go out here to training camp, I'm going to be looking at them at practice today to see where four is in terms of getting these guys to football, just in terms of wide receivers. But if I'm looking at the receiving core right now, I would say it's CeeDee Lamb, Dalton Schultz, Tony Pollard. Those are the three right now when I talk about just receiving the football that I'd be looking for on game day right now.
Listen, okay, let me give you a common theme between them other people that you just named, all right? When Tony Romo was throwing that thing to Laurent Robinson, okay, he had Dez Bryant, all right? First-round pick who ended off with 75 touchdowns, for the Dallas Cowboys. They made sure that they continued to feature their number one guy, all right? Miles Austin was one of those diamond in the rough type of guys. You know what I'm saying? Was it Roy Williams?
It was Roy Williams in there. Patrick Creighton was
right.
Up so there,
you didn't really have that guy, mm-hmm. right? When you got a guy like CeeDee Lamb, all right, he needs to be the focal point to open it up for a guy who would be the example of a Laurent Robinson, right? Not just a system, whatever. You got to be able to force feed a guy like CeeDee Lamb to make defenses respect him so much that they pay him extra attention. So then a guy like Houston can get open if he's on the field or whoever the number two and number three receivers are.
What about the third round pick Jalen Tolbert? I mean, I know we got pads on now. You've seen him a couple of times with the pads. What does he look like out there in that receiving core?
They like him. Dak likes him. And I really can't emphasize this enough. A lot of this is coming down to who number four likes and where he wants to go and who gains his trust. And you know, trust is earned over time with time proof and consistency. So that's what these guys have to go do. I'm going to really look for more of it to see what happens next week when we go up to Denver. Let's see what happens in these padded practices. Let's see what happens in these preseason games. And we'll get more. Right now, they like him, and they're going to try to give these young guys opportunities. Noah Brown is somebody that I was told, hey, don't forget that he'll take advantage of what he can do. And Noah Brown says he feels very confident as well. Health has been his issue, but with James Washington going down, the receiving corps is a big question mark. I mean, that's just a legitimate thing. The organization can't sit around here and run from it. It's a problem. And I think offensive line is another probable question here. When Tyron Smith goes down at left tackle for whatever number of games, and that's just been something for the last 5 years we've seen. That's not me being taking a cheap shot or anything, but Tyron's going to miss games. Who goes out the left tackle? I told Tyler Smith, I'm like, oh, he's working on basically a guard. Throwing this guy to the Wolves for his NFL game. I got a question mark, guys. But I've done every team around in training camp. That's why we're out here. So let's go with them. I'm eager today. There's going to be some moments today, and the kickers are going to get out here. That's a topic we hadn't talked about yet, guys. This kicking situation right now is scary. 23% of NFL games decided by 3 points or less. And right now, I would not take any of these guys on your fantasy football team.
Ooh, I seen that they struggled a little bit at one of those practices. I mean, is it – it ain't as bad as hook 'em left, is it now?
Man, I seen one was like 4-for-8. That bad 50%.
It is, but and this is where I give Mike McCarthy as a head coach a lot of credit. He's putting these guys out here in the pressure situations. The same thing with Fossil. He's letting these guys go, figure it out. And at some point in time, and Fossil and McCarthy are going to have a drop-dead date where they're like, hey, look, you know, we don't think either one of these guys or the guy, let's pick up the phone and go call a veteran, but at least give these guys an opportunity. They're doing what they should do. And this is going to be up to the players right now to start to produce. This is why we have camp, and I don't want to be too much of an alarmist, but this is why you have camp. You work through things. You see where you're at. How do you get better each day? And that's what the good coaching staff is going to do, figure out how they put their players in the best position to take advantage of what they do. This is a staff that won 12 football games last year, so let's let them work through things and give them time to get it right. I'm trying to be a more of an optimistic person because I've been told I'm not really, you know, an optimistic guy. So I'm like, okay, fine. I'm gonna let some others be more, you know.
Are you optimistic that Zeke is gonna be a focal point of this offense?
Mm.
Yes.
So I am. Yeah. The owner said. Jerry said, yes. You know, he gotta be the workhorse. But we've heard that before.
Yes, I need to see it.
We gotta see it.
Now that's what I need to see. I feel like how you feel about Dan Quinn. Yeah. That's how I feel about his focal point. Ezekiel Elliott being a focal point on the offense.
And I'm unfortunately he's not gonna play in the preseason, but I'm eager to see what he can do. I mean, I'm sitting around here. I think I got the 5th pick in my fantasy football draft coming up. I'm like, hey, if I do, I take Zeke. What I do there? But you know,
I don't know about that one.
Nah.
I don't know about that one. Said,
nah, I don't think so, man.
Oh, look at you. Look at that. I'm trying to be optimistic. You guys like, don't do that.
We talk about fantasy numbers. You know, they like to line Zeke up at left tackle. So
you seen them averages last year.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't, number 5. You see, he might be still floating around in the second or third.
You, every year, yeah, he looks the best shape of his life. So
you
talk
about Jonathan Taylor, Austin Ekeler. Gibson. You talk about some guys, Dalvin Cook. Some players out here that you gonna pick before.
Derrick Henry coming back.
I took Dalvin Cook
last year. I died on a vine with Dalvin Cook.
But you got Madison too, though, didn't you?
I did.
All right then. See, Madison, so, yeah. Just get them both.
Yeah. So you definitely, you did. Yeah, exactly. I mean, you got this. Yeah.
Aaron Jones.
Madison, like 2 rounds later, yeah. In the back step up. So.
Dylan.
It's a lot of running backs you probably pick it before Ezekiel Elliott. He's not top 5.
I'll take him in the
third. It's 15 after. I'm going to get out here to this practice to see what I can do. I'm waiting on these mojo moments to see what these kickers can do. But I am going to go out here and be optimistic. Okay? And I'm going to be more open-minded about what I'm doing out there. So, I try not to be so negative. You know, I need to be that guy. You know, watch this.
Get them positive vibes positive flowing.
You don't sound optimistic, but okay.
Positive vibes flowing.
All right.
Positive dog. The positive dog. I'm going out here to be the positive dog.
We're going
to
see.
Guys, fun stuff as always. Yes. Barry Church, Danny McCray. Thank you very much. I'm Newey Scruggs. We will do this. We're going to do this again, Will. You know? We'll be back on, Big Will.
We'll be back on Tuesday.
Monday. So Monday.
Okay. Play
Slides. Tuesday?
No, it's Tuesday.
Tuesday and Thursday, guys.
One of these days Tuesday next week we'll be back.
Tuesday. We'll be back Tuesday.
Tuesday and Thursday.
Later on today, I'll be hosting the Media Mash. So about 4:30 Pacific time, I'll be hosting the Media Mash. So we're going to have all your favorite haters coming together for 45 minutes. So a lot of the writers, all your favorite haters together as we talk about the Cowboys. All right. That's Players Lounge right here on DallasCowboys.com.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys? Yeah!